start as well. It's all right. Here we go. Flexing the old muscles. We're awake. Hello and welcome back once again to FC Podcast. Cheers for hanging out with us for an hour or so. There are lots of options out there, so the fact that you allow us to penetrate your ear holes today, well, we can't thank you enough. Be a friend, tell a friend if you like this podcast, share it with your mates, and if not, just act like it never happened. 9 times out of 10, we do as well. As always, I'm joined by the big man himself, Captain Carlsberg. The Chelsea kit is back on. He's had a good week. And also, we've got the man, the myth. It's the king of Andorra, James Hepworth. Joined today by his dear friend from university, Victor. I have actually just asked him how he is and how he supports Manchester City, but I wasn't pressing record. So we'll start again. Hello, Victor. Man City fan and friend of James Hepworth. You know him from uni. What's the story with City?
All right. So both of my brothers support Man United, and they were watching the derby in like 03 or 04. And I saw Sean Gauthier nick the ball off Gary Neville's score, and I wanted to piss him off. And so it's been City all the way.
See, I've never heard a better reason to dislike Man United even more. I'm not the biggest fan of them. But fair play to you, sir. Fair play to you. You picked a very good team to support moving forward. One of the most successful clubs in recent memory, despite, you know, Chelsea winning a trophy every other season. So we'll just get straight into it, shall we? We normally have one of our big main stories on FCP, and then we have like a little side dish that we like to discuss off the back of. Then we have our usual features talking about the Bundesliga in the bare minimum. We pick a clown of the week. It's normally who we think's been the most idiotic member of the football family this week, and we like to pitch them against each other. We also have a Hall of Fame where we pick something that we love about football and let people vote on it on Instagram. That's at FC Podcast 2. And that's on Twitter, actually, I should say. And then we have Put Some Respect on That Man's Name News, which is James's favourite feature because he likes to say news in a very funny way. Looking like a Bond villain today, Mr. Hepworth. How the devil are you, sir?
I'm very well, thank you very much. The sun is shining. I think I'm going to mix some porn star martinis after the podcast. So it's
Steve Jobs.
Would you say Steve Jobs or maybe on route to Switzerland to rob a bank?
No, you ain't got the intimidation about you, mate. Steve Jobs.
All right. Presenting the iPhone. The Twickenham Steve Jobs. Nice.
The Twickenham Steve Jobs. Well, I was reading somewhere today, after Bill Gates has got his divorce, you look at Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, they definitely don't like unions. So thank you. There's a socialist joke for you on a Thursday. So let's get into the world of football, shall we? And where should we start? This week, we had our two semi-finals, the second legs of the Champions League. And we've got two clubs from the UK in there. It's Chelsea versus Manchester City. It's coming home, ladies and gentlemen. The Champions League will be won by a Premier League club this year. Mark it in your calendars. It's May 29th, Saturday evening around tea time. Mr. Carlsberg, we'll start with you, sir. Last night's game against Real Madrid, you were a bit... Well, how does it go? Let me look through the WhatsApp messages. Message me, boys. I'm going to be on the piss. Either way, I'm going to be getting rat-arsed. And then at some point about 11 o'clock last night, I clicked on my phone, little voice message, and it just went, Chelsea, go on, boys, go on, the boys. So obviously, the result's gone in your favour. How are you feeling, sir? You must be on cloud 9.
Oh, I'm hanging out my ass, to be honest, mate. But apart from that, I'm good.
So the second half performance I thought was amazing. I thought Kante and Mount were unbelievable. Pulisic, great sub coming on.
Big game. Who would have imagined? He's still only playing for Lampard, though. That's the only reason he's playing.
Yeah, it's the one legacy that Lampard will have as Chelsea manager. He brought Mason Mount into the team. It's not what he wanted, but it's definitely what he's ended up with. What's been the response like today? Because obviously you were a little bit like, oh, there's a black mark against them. If, you know, this year we get
I still stand by that. I'm still pissed off about the Super League. I just want to make it clear that. But I will say, in light of us getting to the Champions League final, and it was an amazing night last night, I just want to say one thing though. What happened 2 days ago on Tuesday was even bigger. And that was the announcement where Chelsea released a statement that basically said there will be fan representatives at board meetings going forward from July 1st. I think that is a massive step in the right direction with the club. They've taken into account what's happened with the reaction and the backlash of the Super League, and they've listened to the fans. And I hope this is going to be a big step forward now with the club, where they will be taking into account the fans' point of view when making big decisions like that.
Have you put your application in? Carlsberg, Chelsea board.
Chelsea Football Club.
I think that would be absolutely, absolutely amazing. James, Chelsea are back in a Champions League final for the first time since 2012.
Yes, since 2012. And I don't know what can I say. Tremendous news for Chelsea. They played absolutely fantastic yesterday. To be fair, I was surprised. If you asked me who were going to go through between Chelsea and Real Madrid, I still would have said Real Madrid when the draw was made. But credit to Chelsea. Played really, really well yesterday. Real Madrid really looked their age, you know.
Oh, did they?
They looked old. They looked slow. They were just trying to pass to each other, and it was just so slow and tepid. Other than those two Benzema chances, I mean,
did anyone see Tony Cruz's pre-match comments? What a cunt!
What did he say? What did he say? I saw his comment today where he was like, "Hala Madrid still." But what did he say?
He said before the game, he basically said, "There's no player that he that stands up for Chelsea that he could." He basically said there's no player he could name at Chelsea. Like, he can't remember any of the players' names at Chelsea. They're a really good team, but there's no individual standout players. And he's like, I couldn't even tell you a player's name.
Havertz, Werner, Rudiger, the players who play with him for Germany?
I'm pretty sure Kante helped France bounce you out of the Euros in 2016, pal.
Yeah, Mason Mount made you look very foolish.
To the Euros and
yes, he did, pal. Yes, he did.
Was he there?
Yeah, he played. It was the summer where he got to move from Leicester to Chelsea. He was at the Euros. Played.
Wow. Oh, what a good and Kante from
was
you
all
there,
over
Drew.
Him last night like a fucking rash.
Yeah, Kante was one of the things that I will say about Modric was poor. Things that I will say though is Tuchel has got the best out of N'Golo Kante, which is not something that the previous two managers I think can say. At a time in Chelsea. Victor, what did you think of Chelsea's performance?
I thought it was brilliant. I didn't actually expect it to be that good. I was surprised. I actually thought the goal that Werner scored was going in before it actually hit the crossbar. So, now we're playing Chelsea in the final. We're probably not going to win that. And I thought they basically made Luka Modric look like someone in an old pensioner in an electric wheelchair.
It's like buzzing along, bless him.
Yeah,
it
was very unfortunate, especially when you've got a player that is a superstar like Valverde on the bench and you go, I know Modric has got quality. I know you've just given him a new contract. He's closer to 40 than he is to 20.
And Zidane doesn't trust the young players though, does he? We've had this discussion many times on the podcast. He will stick by the old guard no matter what.
But that always ends in tears though. We've seen it numerous times where the old guard just fall flat on their face, and it's just sad.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for Ramos as well, being thrown into a game like that. I'd literally no match fitness whatsoever. He looked spent after like 30 minutes. The fact that they just kept rolling him out.
Did Marcelo even get back for the game? Because I thought he was in Brazil doing something.
No, he was at the polling station, wasn't he? He was back. They got him a private jet over, didn't they?
Oh, nice for some.
Didn't even play. Didn't even enter the frame.
Yeah, he doesn't start regularly anyway. He only started the first leg because Mendy was out.
Yeah, so he could have flown commercially then instead.
Well, he could have tried. But
he could have tried, yeah.
They decided to the Hazard bill.
Yeah.
Hazard celebrating with Zuma yesterday. And now
have you seen a reaction in Madrid?
No, I've just seen that video recently.
Oh god, it literally looked like the opening of an episode of How to Catch a Predator. It was like we're about to talk about something horrific. Absolute scumbag. I present to you Eden Hazard.
Apparently, the translation was like along the lines of he's taken a piss. He's still taking a piss, and he's even worse than Gareth Bale. Like in terms of taking a piss.
Yes.
The comparison to Gareth Bale.
You can't compare.
He passed the Champions League finals and won the Champions League for Madrid.
You can't compare Bale's Real Madrid career to that of Eden Hazard.
No, you can't. I mean,
not even close. Well, first of all, Bale played.
Right. Wait. And Hazard hasn't been there for that long, so they need to give him some more time, I think.
Well, the reaction in Madrid is along the lines of they want him sold this summer. They want him gone. Come on. Come on.
I don't think he'll have space for him, do you?
He'll probably end up in Dortmund as part of the Haaland deal.
Oh, fuck off. We're not going down this route again, are we?
I say Dortmund, and I think I could see him at Dortmund. He's got his brother there, near Belgium.
I could also see him at Dortmund as well.
But maybe by Munich.
No, I don't think we could afford his wages.
Well, I thought you were one of the richest clubs in the world.
I know, mate. But we wouldn't pay the wages, would we?
I know. If you'd read that book that he lovingly sent you, you'd know all this.
He sends us transcripts every fucking day. Well, Victor, I've got a question for you.
Yeah.
Who do you think right now has more financial power in the transfer market, Manchester City or Bayern Munich? Because the Bayern Munich fan somehow thinks Bayern has more transfer power.
We have more money to spend, but they...
I'm not talking about in terms of the attraction. I'm just talking about the money.
Oh, us.
Yeah, clearly. I agree.
I love how the answer...
We're a wealthier club.
Did you notice that, James? Did you notice that the answer slightly wasn't going in the direction he wanted it to? Before he even finished, he was like, let me reword it for you so that it suits my argument.
Of course.
Typical
Chelsea. I sent you the stats. I sent you the stats and figures. You just don't like looking at it.
Yeah, Here's the thing, though.
Go on, Victor.
If Uli Hoeneß stopped putting Bayern Munich's money in his own pocket, then they would have Hazard for his salary.
Oh, how'd you like lemon apples, James?
Well, Victor, did you? I would like to tell the story, Victor, about.
He went to jail, though.
Victor, I would like to talk about the story quickly. And so this is very mean. So, Victor, I'm not attacking you, but
I'm so offended.
The day that Man City won your first Premier League title, tell me about that day.
When I missed my flight to Manchester.
What's happened is, you don't like what Victor's saying to you, so you've tried to take the piss out of him for missing the Aguero moment. It sounds like a personal attack here, James.
I would never attack my dear friend Victor, would I, Victor?
You're not getting bitchy, are you, James?
So you got a flight over to Manchester and you missed it?
Yeah. I overslept and I figured I would still make it, but I just missed the flight when I got to the airport in Copenhagen, so I had to watch it from the sports bar in the airport instead.
Did you get bad while watching it?
A little bit, but I was...
There we go, good man.
Yeah.
So did you have tickets for the actual game?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Oh, no.
That's brutal. That is brutal. I was washing my car. Actually, at that time,
it's a game of football.
Did you know, Victor, that Simon is now a Bayern Munich fan?
And a Man
yes,
City
I bought.
Fan.
I bought a membership in a. I was having a sad moment a couple of.
Weeks and Liverpool. Ago. Forgot about them.
I was having a sad moment a couple of weeks ago. So, Victor, just to explain the relationship that me, Jack, and James have, and I'm sure people that have listened to this podcast from its infancy will understand that James is. A very, you know, suave, intellectual man, likes to look at the facts and figures of football.
And I'm
Jack
not.
Isn't. Wears his heart on his sleeve.
A romantic.
Has no social skills. thinks that etiquette is something that you eat with, you know, it's all fun and games. I've got to start calling him, what was the name of the lead singer of Culture Club?
He's Pugsley.
Actually, speaking of, I'm not a snob. I'm from Doncaster. I'm from the prawn sandwich side of Doncaster.
So. Yeah, you're becoming a bit posh, aren't you now, pal?
Anyway, so the story about me, I've grown up a Liverpool fan. Other than the past 2 years, I felt very disgruntled a lot of my life because a lot of my family are Liverpool fans and we don't always get on. So, long story short, I moved to Manchester in the last year because of the pandemic. I just so happened to live on the side of Manchester where I can practically see the Etihad from my house. So every time I mention football, these two fuckers just sing Blue Moon at me.
Blue Moon!
Blue Moon.
It is true. Although, over the season, James has convinced me that the way that Bundesliga football works and the way that German clubs run associates more with my ideology when it comes to ethics, finance, whatever. So I've actually spent €50 of my own money and I've bought some bits in. I'm not a glut, mate. I've been a Liverpool fan nearly all my life. How can you call me a glory hunter? Your club didn't exist before 2003.
True story.
Don't come around calling me a glory hunter.
Weren't we winning FA Cups in the late 90s and getting into the top four? Yes, we were.
I don't remember, mate. I'm surprised you remember because you weren't there.
Mate, I was alive.
He was alive, but he definitely wasn't there.
When Di Matteo was lifting that FA Cup trophy, I was sucking off my mum's tit.
Oh, fucking hell. Speaking of Di Matteo, is that what we're going to start calling Lampard? Because, you know, Tuchel's going to come in, swoop in and get all the glory. First manager, back-to-back Champions League finals with different clubs. Although, by the sounds of things, on the UK coverage at BT Sport last night, he's still a little bit bitter about losing the PSG job. Don't know if you saw the comments, but he looked a little bristled, that Tuchel sort of personality coming through. Before we get on to one of the interesting points that I've found about this final, which is there's so many Bundesliga ties in there, we'll get straight into Man City's performance against PSG. Mahrez has been probably the player of the last round. And then you look at Foden as well. Like, that Manchester City front line has completely changed its dynamic. And now you're in a Champions League final. So, Victor, what about this year has been different? It's been quarterfinal, 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 and now finally you're in the final. What has it been to get to this point that's changed?
I think they got out of their own heads and just played the way they're supposed to.
Because they had a mentality shift, wasn't it?
Right, because they've had all the personnel to do this before,
yeah.
But they got in their heads. To this year, okay, we're going to do it the simple way, and this is just do your thing, don't overthink it, and the result will come. I think basically it's what has happened. And Foden's, Foden's exposure to first team football has improved his skills so much that he's unquestionably a starter both for Man City and England.
Oh, he simply I was debating with my friend that I watched the City game with. He was going, he has to start for England. You look at the two prominent young Englishmen in that final, Mason Mount, Phil Foden. It must be quite difficult for Gareth Southgate because he looks at the amount of players, the English players that are in the final. I count seven, including out of the teams. And then you take into account the Arsenal and Man United. Man United, more likely, are going to book their tickets to the Europa League final. When it comes to that fixture, the warm-up game against Austria, there could be a whole first team of players unavailable to Southgate because it's something like three or four games after the final. So it's going to be interesting seeing what the England players get bedded in. But when it comes to City, it looks set up for them. Pep does not lose finals. He's lost one, the Copa del Rey, in like 11-12.
11. So that's good.
So how confident are you feeling with this final? Because I touched on it earlier, Chelsea are looking like City's bogey team.
50-50. I think it's going to end on penalties.
Really?
Yeah. Because I think City, the City players are not going to want to push forward as much as they want. And the I don't think the City players are going to want to push forward as much as they should, and they're going to try to play it safe and go to penalties. That's what I think is going to happen, and then it's anyone's game from there, really.
Who do you think, gents? I'll ask James first. Who do you think's going to be the game changer in this final?
I think I said it earlier. I think it's going to be one on a piece of brilliance. Either De Bruyne free kick, Mahrez free kick, a bit of excellence from Chelsea's midfield. I think it's, as you know, with finals go, I think both teams will score. And I think the winner will be a bit of magic by one of the big players. I think that's how it's going to be won.
I already have it scratched in as 2-1, but I don't know which way it's going to go yet.
The perfect ending from a City standpoint would be Aguero scoring the winning goal.
Oh, I mean, it would write itself, wouldn't it? It would just write itself.
Yeah, but let's not have that.
You're very superstitious today, Carlsberg. Very superstitious indeed. Yeah, it is fascinating. It certainly is fascinating. I was reading an article today, as I just touched on. The Bundesliga links in this final. You've got Pulisic, you've got Havertz that were, you know, young up-and-coming Bundesliga players. You've got an ex-Stuttgart player in Rudiger. And then also you've got De Klassiker managers alumni, Guardiola up against Tuchel once again. It's been a long time since these two have come up against each other.
And you're also forgetting redemption for Gundogan, who lost the Champions League final in 2013.
Of course, yeah. So, but there's
played in the Bundesliga.
There's lots of ties here. So it is fascinating.
Played for Bayern Munich. Oh no, shit, never mind.
One of the things that I thought was interesting is Tuchel's come out and said that the benchmark for his PSG team last year, before the final was even played, was Bayern Munich. And he said, when I took over in January, he says, my plan was to eventually beat Bayern Munich in the final. And he says, and I knew if it wasn't going to be Bayern Munich, it was definitely going to be Manchester City. And then was asked, do you have a game plan? And he was like, in football, you can never have a game plan. But I think, as James, you'll touch on, you don't necessarily like the man, but Tuchel is a tactical, he is very good at reading football ahead. He's very good at predicting and understanding form and where players are going to slot in. So from their time together in De Klassiker, what can we expect from a Tuchel versus Guardiola team?
I think Chelsea will sit back and defend, but every time that Man City come forward, they're going to try and smother them and get Man City on their counter. Man City, of course, have a great defence, you know, with Diaz right at the sound of it, Cancelo and, you know, even Stones. So they've got a good defensive back line there. But I think that's basically what will happen. Man City will try and dictate the game, do the passing, basically what Madrid did in the first half yesterday, you know, controlling the possession. But I think Chelsea are just going to set deep and go and try and get City on the counter. My only concern with Chelsea is they're just missing that centre forward to put the chances away, because, you know, I can see Werner missing. They have to take the chances, and I can potentially see City taking their chances. But I think Pep, you know, Pep overthinks things. And I think potentially, because how well Tuchel sets out his team, I could just see Chelsea sitting back and just sitting on the counter-attack. It's going to be really interesting. So we could potentially have a City United Super Cup.
Might be like that.
Oh, Carlsberg, I'm only on the wind-up.
It's true though. You could definitely have a Manchester Derby Super Cup
or a Chelsea Villarreal. Pretty nice.
Yeah. Which is just as exciting. The City performance against PSG I thought was phenomenal, but something that was even more phenomenal I thought was just the absolute combustion of that squad. Just I've never seen a team lose their head as quickly as PSG.
Mate,
in that last 20 minutes.
PSG. I did it in the first leg.
I've never seen it to that scale.
Mr. Gay, that red card. They do it all the time. Yeah. They did it in the final against Bayern Munich. I mean, not the rash challenges, but Neymar completely lost his head in that final.
What did you think, Victor, watching that game unfold?
I expected it to happen after they scored the second goal in the first leg. But all right, the Paris players are going to crumble now because, well, they have a history of, they do it in the league all the time when it doesn't go their way. They lose their shit. And then in the second game, when Fernandinho was walking up to Di Maria, I was like, all right, here comes the red card right before the...
Really?
Stamp even up. Yeah. This,
I think the biggest surprise.
Masterful trolling.
Yeah, I think the biggest surprise isn't that they capitulated. The biggest surprise is that Neymar didn't capitulate and get sent off.
Right. Neymar actually tried to do something, even though he couldn't.
Yeah, he kept his composure out of a lot of them, which was the most surprising thing.
Yeah, I'm surprised Verratti and what's his face from Porto didn't get sent off.
Oh, Danilo. Yeah, Verratti should have been gone. When he got booked and then he did that challenge like 30 seconds later, I think the ref was just leaning. The ref just didn't want to... I think if the ref had sent him off there, he would have lost complete control of the game. I mean, he's losing control of the game, but he would have just lost all of it at that point.
Was it Bjorn Kuipers? I think it was Bjorn Kuipers.
Yes, it was. Yeah. It was a bit like Howard Webb in the 2010 World Cup final when he did send off the young.
He sent off Heitinger.
That was extra time. Like, right. By that point, he was trying to keep players on the pitch.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the ref was doing in that PSG City game.
Why? What's the problem? What is the problem with PSG, man? Why they just... They've got some horrible pieces of work. They've got some horrible pieces of work.
Well, if they were going to look at it like what they need in like all serious terms, they need a sports psychologist.
But they won't win a trophy otherwise. They won't, because they don't have a team spirit. They won't win a trophy.
Did you see Pochettino just losing his absolute rag during that game? Not at like because they weren't doing the fundamentals of the game, but because they were losing their composure. Yeah. And the problem is, when they lose their heads and stuff, that ends up becoming a reflection of the manager. But that isn't Pochettino. He manages teams with class and dignity, and that wasn't a Pochettino side. And it reflected poorly on him. And that's almost one of his biggest tasks at PSG. He's got to somehow change the mentality at the club of the players. And PSG tried to be this big global brand. That's what they tried to set out to be, with like the partnership with Jordan and everything, and having like celebrities and stuff at games pre-COVID. They tried to make out that they're this big global brand, but you can't be a big global brand when your players are acting like that on the pitch. It's the complete opposite of that. Mm-hmm. You can't have that.
It's true. They're not a likable club, really.
And the thing is also, they're used to punching down in their leagues, in the cups. So when someone comes along and knocks them out, they get upset. They don't know how to handle it.
But it's like in the league, like you said, Neymar has an awful disciplinary record.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to actually check what the odds, the line odds are on Neymar getting sent off before the season's over. Because I think that's good money.
Not a bad shout.
To win the league. If they keep their composure.
Come on, Lil.
I think one of the hardest games they've got is maybe Lens. They were like sixth in the league or something.
Lens have been surprisingly good.
It's in Lil's hands.
Yeah.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Are they equal on points or something?
No, Lil ahead. I'm pretty sure Lil ahead by like a point or two.
Yeah.
And there's three games left.
Oh, that'd be amazing if Lil went. And what happens to Poch then? Is he in danger? Or no?
He should be. They'll be mad to. They've got the right manager now, but he's coming halfway through a season where the players they've brought in, some of them, the signings haven't been good enough, if you know what I mean. Icardi has just not worked out. He's not what they needed, and he was a 50-plus million signing. The weird thing with PSG is they've got these superstar players, and understand the focus is keeping Mbappe and Neymar. But next to them, they've also got a few players that shouldn't be in that starting 11, like Diallo playing left back. What's going on there? Why is Diallo playing at left back in the Champions League semi-final?
I'm surprised they haven't gone for Gaia at Valencia.
I'm surprised he hasn't got a move. I mean, he's been around, like, in terms of...
Since 2012?
He's been at a good level from at least 2015 onwards.
Who was it? Was it Meunier who was their left back once upon a time?
Or he was a right back.
He was a right back.
He's now at Dortmund, isn't he?
And then he left on a free transfer to Dortmund.
They've got Backer as well, don't they? The Dutch.
He's like a makeshift centre back. Left back. They had Kazawa, didn't they? Well, they still have. And they've got Bernat.
Oh, was he still at the club?
Oh, Bernat.
We should have sold Angelino to them just so they could have at least left back.
He's doing well for Leipzig, Angelino.
Yeah. He's doing very well for Leipzig. James, I've got a question for you here. When you look at Pochettino and the team that he's inherited at PSG, and you look at Zinedine Zidane and the team that he now needs to rebuild, do you not think that it would have suited either manager to be in charge of the opposite club?
I think the thing is with Zidane is he's kept the vast majority of his team for the last few years. There hasn't been that many outgoings other than, you know, Ronaldo's gone, Bale's gone, Odegaard's gone out on loan. They've severely weakened their side. With PSG, it's very much the sense that, they've got these, these characters that, are very difficult to manage. And I'm not sure. I think Zidane would command more respect because of what he's potentially won, and he's French. I think maybe there is that lack of respect, but I don't know what it comes down to. Simply, I think any manager will struggle to manage this PSG side. I think the best person who did it was
very unbalanced. Squad.
It's such an unbalanced squad with some players I would not want to touch with a barge pole.
But like, if Zidane came in at PSG, he would come in like, okay, you're going to do what the fuck I'm saying, or I'm going to kick you in the fucking head. And he's Zidane.
Yeah, so he's got a similar influence. Yeah. It's not really the managerial differences here. It's more the personnel at PSG.
This is
bringing in average signings, they're really not going to take that next step, are they?
This is why I brought up the question to James, because I thought it would evoke the conversation. But the point that I'm trying to squeeze out of you is, when a player like Neymar, Mbappe, Verratti, Di Maria are in front of a manager and go, well, we're footballers, you're a manager, you don't know football like we do. Pochettino, ex-PSG player, has played in the World Cup, had a relatively good career as a player, excellent manager. Zinedine Zidane, is Zinedine fucking Zidane. Like, if he walks in that room and Neymar goes, well, what have you won, mate? He'll go, shut the fuck up, mate.
Yeah, I don't think it's a lack of disrespect for Pochettino.
The potential is there.
Maybe. The potential is there
for him to lose that dressing room.
In the mirror. They're the ones that are capitulating. It's not the manager. You're saying it.
No, in many, many cognitive situations, a lot of the reasons as to why we go, there's all these problems surrounding you. What's the one thing in common with all of these problems?
The man
not looking in the mirror.
You know what they need? They need a Fernandinho. Someone like that.
No, I disagree. He's just as likely to lose his head. He'd get sent off in that PSG team. He's lost his head many times in Man City. Think of the Chelsea game back in 2017.
What makes you think that?
No, they've got loads of water carriers in that midfield. Look at Paredes, look at Ander Herrera, and look at Nissa Gueye.
I don't think it's necessarily the ability of the player. It's the personality. It's the fact that I think, well, like Victor, were you meaning in the fact that he's 36 years old, he's had a long career. It almost like when Makélélé went to PSG in 2009, 2010, like that sort of influence in the dressing room.
Right. And the respect mentality, it's just not as good. He's one of the, as professional as it comes in terms of players.
So we'll put Busquets in.
That wouldn't help. That would not help him.
Be interesting, though. It would be very interesting, a player like that, like a metronome sort of player in that side, because
I'm a Wigner.
They're not very good at recycling the ball.
But they're not good at recycling the ball. The legs. That's a good shout out, James.
It's going to be interesting. With Real Madrid, The problem seems a little bit more difficult because it requires money.
At the end of the day, PSG aren't in crisis. They just lost to a better team in the semi-finals. I think this has just been blown out of proportion here because of the way they exited the Champions League. They lost this year and they went out with no dignity. But at the same time, at the end of the day, they lost in the semi-finals to just a team that was better. They're not in crisis. They'll probably have a big summer ahead and keep. Maybe I reckon Mbappe will re-sign. It looks like Neymar's going to re-sign and they go again. Maybe Icardi will go. I don't know what's the future for Moise Keane. Maybe a midfield signing and they go again and there'll be a threat in the Champions League next season. Madrid, on the other hand, they've run their course.
Yeah, they've run their time.
Madrid needs to get Modric out. Ramos.
Well, he's just signed a new deal, ain't he? Oh, no, disagree. Disagree with Ramos, 100%.
We know your opinions on Real Madrid, Jack. So I'm intrigued to hear Victor's. What's your perspective as an outsider of the podcast coming in? What do you think Real Madrid need next?
But I don't even know who's available for them to get now. Let's say they replace Modric with anyone, they would want to replace him with another Galactico. So
they've got the midfielder in their club already.
Exactly, but you know they're stupid.
Oh, I completely agree. Yeah. So they operate. Yeah.
So they would actually. I wouldn't put it beyond them to try to get De Bruyne, but he wouldn't go.
Yeah, because he's just signed a brand new deal, hasn't he?
Right, and he would be a perfect replacement for Modric. Yeah. In that sense, I would have someone come in that's like I would start phasing out Ramos now.
No, I disagree.
From next season, start phasing him out a little bit.
He's still one of the best centre-backs in the world, even at his age. Maybe that's a slight on how there's a lack of depth in world-class centre-backs right now, but he's still one of the best, and they are a much better team with him in the team. And it looks like they're going to get Alaba, and if you lose Ramos for Alaba, that is a massive downgrade.
No, they should get... You can't defend Alaba.
They should get the Van Dijk in for Ramos.
I'd like to see them try. That would be a monstrous signing. Nope. I can have an opinion. And regardless, I think, you know, getting a player of that ilk at this time, like, it's not a buyer's market. And you look at where Madrid are. I think a lot of them
as well, if you believe the reports.
Yeah, but when I look at Madrid's squad, they had the opportunity to make it work because they've not necessarily spent money wisely, but two, they've not upgraded when the time has been right. You look at a player like Valverde, he needs game time at the biggest level. He should have played in the semi-final, that dynamism in his midfield. I understand that you know, Modric has got the money, he's got the prestige, he's a Ballon d'Or winner. You know, we can go on. Toni Kroos. He's a fantastic player, but he's not known for his dynamism with his legs. Valverde, he's a box-to-box midfielder. He's a fantastic player. He brings the ball forward, something that we don't necessarily associate with this Real Madrid team. Yeah. Benzema gets a chance, and his efficiency stands out. That's what he does. He's a poacher. So it's, you know, the style of play where they're going to go is fascinating because the average squad age is like 33, 34, and same with Barcelona as well. Like these teams aren't going to be winning the league this year potentially. So it's going to be
Modric looked like Yaya Toure in the last season, his last Man City season.
He just wasn't getting around the pitch, was he?
They should actually go for the American lad at Juventus.
McKennie,
yeah. Very dynamic player.
He's been brilliant in this season. He's the one player that Juventus need to keep.
And while we've got you here, Victor, as a Norwegian, with Haaland, where would you like to see him next?
He's Swedish.
Because obviously...
Are you Swedish?
So... Oh, apologies, Victor. Apologies. When you said Malmo, I was like, is that Norwegian or is it?
No, it's Swedish. My
geography is terrible.
Haaland is perfectly welcome to emigrate to Sweden and claim his Swedish citizenship since we used to own Norway.
Oh, yeah. May 17th coming up.
Yeah, right.
Red, white, and blue.
I think if he's going to go to a club in England, he's coming to Man City. Otherwise, he's going to Real Madrid, Barcelona, Juventus.
I don't think he's going to some.
Not this summer, but
I think next summer is when he moves. I reckon Sancho goes this summer and then Haaland stays another season.
But here's the thing I don't get with the Sancho rumors, right? Because he's being linked with Man United, but every time City sells a youth player, they put a no Man United clause in his contract with the other club. So he's not allowed to get sold to Man U.
But did he go on a free transfer to Dortmund? I can't remember.
No, we got paid for him.
No, it was $8 million.
That's right. Yeah.
Really, really small fee.
Maybe you just fucked the deal, mate, because he's been linked with United the whole time.
I was laughing for 2 years, but they put a no United clause in every youth player's negotiation when they sell them.
It wouldn't surprise me, though, if Ed Woodward missed that small print.
Oh,
That wouldn't surprise me. Ed Woodward is quite retarded.
Yeah, he's definitely not going to be in the job for long. Definitely not going to be in the job for long.
He's already announced he's resigning.
Yeah, he's resigning, so.
Yeah,
Glazers just need to resign.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, the state of football moving forward. Now, James, I think it's only right that we get to it's not just your section anymore, I suppose it's mine as well. Should we get to the bare minimum?
The Bundesliga ain't even played at the weekend. Why are we talking about them? For fuck's sake.
Their Bundesliga wasn't played this week. I have to say.
No, but there's plenty going on. There's plenty going on in the Bundesliga. There's plenty going on, my friend. I know because I get the newsletter now. David Alaba. Avi Martinez. Confirmed to be leaving. It's a sad time in the Bavaria, my friend. It's losing two stalwarts of the Bayern.
Javi Martinez as well.
I know.
But Javi Martinez, the best memory of Javi Martinez, 2013. Nah, mate, 2013.
The bus drove off without him. The bus drove off without him. He was stuck in the Nou Camp car park.
He was having a rolly with Kolasinac and Mustafi after they jumped.
Mate,
he got stuck
in the car park. They left the stadium and they forgot about him. He was in the fucking car park waiting. He had to text the teammates to try and get the bus to come back. And he was the best player on the pitch that night. He was unbelievable in that semi-final.
Love Javi Martinez. Chelsea did not like him for the last second goal against Chelsea in the Super Cup. But for us, we love our Javi Martinez.
We don't remember that.
Nah, we don't remember the Lukaku penalty miss, do we? Never saw him again.
Nah. What's he about?
And he was never seen again.
Well, yeah.
He ain't done much, has he?
I'm just going to bring this back to the Champions League final. They might hold it at Villa Park.
Oh, that would be great.
No.
Why? You could potentially go Carlsberg. You can't go to Turkey now, can you?
Carlsberg, why are you even bothered? You don't like culture.
Why are you so angry?
You're not going to be going to Turkey. The whole of Istanbul's been in lockdown for 6 months, mate. You're going to turn up. There's going to be no there.
Why are you so upset?
Yeah, I get that. It just ruins the magic of the Champions League.
It doesn't. Villa Park's an unbelievable stadium. It's held Euro semi-finals, it's held UEFA Cup finals. Don't forget, friend, that club's also won as many Champions League trophies as your team has. It's
and
a
it
very respectable venue.
Back in 2012, because of the Olympics closing ceremony. Oh shit, Chelsea lost that game.
It's not very often that he remembers losses, because he doesn't remember anything past 2003.
He had a bad game and everyone said he was going to be a flop. Shit.
Yes, just like Timo Werner. Anyway, me and James were saying it's written in the stars. He's going to miss an absolute sitter in the final. But anyway, we were talking about
the Bundesliga. A big action DFB Pokal, a big action. Dortmund in the final will be playing RB Leipzig in the final.
At the Emirates right now.
Boy, what?
Who are they?
Yeah, because Arsenal playing at the Emirates tonight, aren't they?
Oh, stick my head out the window. Have a look. Oh, did you say the Emirates or the Etihad? It all gets very confusing with the Saudi
Airlines. Fans are coming to us at the Etihad, aren't they, pal?
Only when Messi came over.
They might. Arteta's been in Guardiola's pocket
for a while. You're not supporting Arsenal as well now, are you, pal?
Is he an Arsenal fan as well?
I'm not an Arsenal fan. I'm not an
Arsenal fan. Once a goon, always a goon. You know what I mean, pal?
Goons, goons, goons.
How's Cuba or goons?
I can just imagine Simon's closet is just full of different shirts.
Do you remember that advert from years back when they...
There's a riot outside Emirates.
Is it a riot outside the library? Interesting.
Kaiserslautern playing?
Hey, it's a Twickenham fan that supports Bayern Munich.
Well, at least I don't change my clubs, Carlsberg, and I've only been a one-man club for my whole life.
He's talking to you, James.
I missed that bit, mate. So, you used to be
a QPR fan as well.
I've been to a few QPR games, but what's that? What's that to do with it?
You're not a fucking disgrace, are you, pal? Oh, no, wait, here you are.
But Carlsberg, aren't you the Chelsea fan who lives in Essex? And what's the last time you even went to see Chelsea play? Do you hold a Chelsea membership?
His dad's a West Ham fan. Membership?
No, I thought.
I work with you, pal.
I thought so. Chelsea!
James, I was reading through the old newsletter today. Apparently, Sally Hammerditch is on board with rebuilding the squad under Big Jules. Somebody didn't offer Flick. Thoughts?
Everyone is transfer targets in public.
Sar, gone, mate. Zirky, gone, mate. Saul potentially might leave because he's not going to get in the starting 11. Who else is more loanies? Get them out. They're all going to be off. Sar's gone.
Sar, Bruno Sar, yeah. Bash out Bruno Sar.
He'll try and sign Hudson-Odoi for a third fucking time.
Apparently, Douglas Costa isn't going to play again. What an absolute waste of a transfer that was.
You mean will he ever play football again, or will he not play for Bayern again?
He won't play for Bayern again. We've already.
Remember when this guy thought Douglas Costa was going to be a really good signing? Remember when this guy thought Coutinho was going to be a really good signing?
He wasn't. Coutinho
did score two goals in the Champions League
winner. Thank you very much. Treble winner. Thank you very much.
You remember 2 years before Bayern signed Mark Rocker, he said, "This is the guy we need to sign. He is elite." Oh shit! Yeah.
I didn't say that.
Yeah, you did.
No, I didn't, Carlsberger.
Yes, you did. You said Martin Rocker from Espanyol is the midfielder we need to be signing.
Carlsberg, that was 2 years ago. I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, mate.
Sangria.
Yeah. Leftover tapas.
Well, that was our Bundesliga section derailed by the Chelsea fan.
We've got to talk about
what else we got.
What was there to talk about? There was no games at the weekend, apart from maybe like some teams played.
It was a DFB Pokal.
Dortmund Leipzig in the final.
Carlsberg, right, you can't look. Carlsberg, you've got no history. What are you on about talking about backwards? Let's look to the future.
Sorry, don't you support five clubs?
All right, I have a Bundesliga question then.
Yeah, go on. Thank God for that.
So, by Carlsberg.
You know how Bayern Munich just raids all the other Bundesliga teams for the best
thank
players?
Thank you.
Yeah. Go on. Oh, he muted himself just as he asked the question. Good.
When should I unmute him?
Did you mute him? No, what's going on?
Yes, I did mute him.
Look, that's unlike James to censor people when he doesn't like the questions being asked at him.
It's very German of him.
Yeah. Sorry. It's, history is repeating itself.
Anyway, next section. Let's move on. What's that?
What were you going to say about Bayern?
Yeah, since when they're buying all the best players from all the other Bundesliga teams, which players are they going to take this summer transfer window?
Well, they've already spent 25 million euros on a fucking manager. Take your pick, pal.
So they've got the manager they wanted, Upamecano.
Exactly.
James, who would you like? Should we have a look through? Who would we like?
I want to get Haaland next summer. I think we should sell Lewandowski next summer and bring in Haaland. That's who I would like.
There's been reports of that actually happening.
Yeah, there has been a lot of reports of it actually happening.
Lewandowski when he's the best player in the world, James?
Well, next year when he's 30.
Well, I thought he's the best player in the world.
Well, he is for us at the moment.
You can see it now. You can see Haaland going to Dortmund and Lewandowski going to Man United. They love an old striker that'll come in, have a good season or two, and then they'll shimmy him off to somewhere like the States.
Lewandowski has actually been linked with City.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, like, what's been the rumors there?
You can have leather after a year. Sounds like a good deal.
But no, well, I thought Lewandowski's better than Eto'o and Henry in their primes. Why would you want to sell him?
Quiet Pugsley in the cheap seats. We're talking to Victor.
He's on tour, actually. I've booked tickets to see the Adams Family musical in Manchester in September. I'm looking forward to your debut.
I'll pay for my next session.
Good Lord. Right, what else have we got in our running order of shame? So we've got the DFB polka. If we can talk about it, Jack, James, yeah, get it out quick before he cuts in.
We lost.
Busy, mate.
Who did you lose to?
We lost to Kiel.
Who?
Kiel.
Who?
Ah, Kiel.
The team that lost to Dortmund.
Ain't that a beer?
It is a beer as well. They do very nice beer. They do lovely crab sandwiches up there also. It's like...
Oh, yeah.
They have a lovely beach.
It's the Sunderland. It's the German Sunderland.
Except who's the team again?
And they have a lovely beach as well.
Holstein Kiel.
Who?
Holstein Kiel. Actually, I don't think Kiel knocked us out. I think it was Magdeburg. No, it was Kiel.
That's worse.
Who? I think it was Kiel.
Who?
Hertha Berlin has one goal on Freiburg right now.
Oh, do they? Come on.
Who's the team that looks at five?
I think it was Kiel. I'm 99% sure it was.
Oh, I have two, actually.
You're like a fucking parakeet, aren't you?
Who's the team?
It was Kiel. I'm 99% sure it was Kiel. Oh, dear.
It's starting to sound like... This
do you have Tourette's, Carlsberg?
I'm going to start calling him... This is the bare minimum owl. Just appears.
Yeah, just going...
I was just wondering why Bayern weren't in the final, that's all.
Anyway, we'll move this behaviour on in the place that it suits most fittingly, which I think is beautifully titled Clown of the Week.
De Maria.
Clown of the Week.
Victor, this is the section of our podcast where we like to pick one member of the football family out of the ether and remind everybody what an absolute twat they are. So, James, I'll let you go first. Who is your selection potentially this week for Clown of the Week?
Oh, it's a very good one. I haven't thought about it yet, so maybe let's ask Victor to come back.
I thought you were going for Jens.
I'm going for, oh yeah, of course, Jens Lehmann. Thank you very much. Completely forgot about Jens Lehmann. Jens Lehmann, that's it. Do you want to know why?
Well, yeah, I saw the messages in the newspaper.
You can't just say his name and not say why.
Basically, he's part of a WhatsApp group for his former employees, I should say, Hertha Berlin. And Dennis Owogo, former German international, was part of the group. And he said something on the WhatsApp chat. And Jens Lehmann replied, oh, is that right? Quotenschwarzer, which basically means black man who quotes things. And then I don't know what earth got into his mind to say that. And basically... massive backlash all over Germany, and he's been bounced out of his job at Hertha Berlin. Oh dear, oh dear.
Very worthy clown of the week. Victor, you muttered a name ever so delightfully before we begun. Is that Angel Di Maria you're putting forward?
It's Di Maria, but then again, I completely forgot about Lehmann until James brought him up. Maybe they can have a fight to the death for twat of the week.
Twat of the week.
Twat very, of the very, week.
Twat of the week. I like Twat of the Week. Twat of the Week is also a good name. Rather than Clown of the Week, just straight up Twat of the Week. Very, very good selection. Jack, have you got a choice, sir?
Yeah, I mean, it's not on the same level as Lehmann or Di Maria, but I'm going for Tony Cruz.
Tony Cruz?
Oh, yeah, oh, Tony. So his quote was, the most difficult player to face at Chelsea? No player has ever taken my sleep in 15 years. They play well as a team, but I can't tell you a name. Or remember the name, son, N'Golo Kante.
Oh, you will remember the name now, most definitely. Do I have a choice for Clown of the Week this week?
I mean, mine's weak compared to the other two, to be fair.
Yeah, I thought I've been interested by a lot of the coverage of the Man United protest, because there are people on so many different sides of the fence. And I think the big loser out of all of that has actually been the Man United team, especially if they're going to get docked points and everything, which will be a little bit counterproductive. But I'll get back to you. Well, yeah, it's good for City because you'll automatically win the league. There's a chance that you'll win the league against Chelsea this week.
Depending on how the fixtures go.
It's going to be a very good signifier for the final because, you know, confidence will be built on whoever beats who. Or it'll probably just be a nil-nil score draw, most likely. Right then, this is, now that we've done Clown of the Week, we like to move on very swiftly to what we call the Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame, Victor, is where we like to take something from the football world and put it forward, and then we let people on Instagram and Twitter decide which one goes into our Hall of Fame. Previous winners, Aguero's goal. Oh, no, wait, that one didn't win. What else have we had? James, you won like six in a row. So you had many fine suggestions.
You have to flip a coin between me and... I think it's me and Carlsberg, actually.
It will be. It ain't Simon. It's not Simon. No.
I think Simon got very low votes again. Hasn't changed much. Let's have a
look. That makes a surprise.
So Simon, unfortunately, Simon, again, you really struggled this week. So it was the Liverpool comeback and it was a Nesquik football cereal. So it's between...
Hang on, how is Istanbul game levelled with a fucking cereal?
Well, it was a beautiful cereal, Carlsberg. You obviously were born then, but...
It's before 2003. Has no recollection of that
time. No, nothing. Life didn't exist between 2003.
Before 2003.
It's like the Bible. It's like the Bible, the Old Testament.
No dinosaurs.
You're telling me people voted as many times for the Istanbul Champions League final as they did a fucking cereal?
We got 100 votes. 40% Liverpool, 40% Nesquik, and only 20% got the Cheetos.
Wait, sorry, someone voted for Simon's pick.
Yeah,
that's thank you.
Thank you. It was me.
His whole family members are saying.
No, it's just me.
Who's going to? No. Can someone flip us? Shall I flip something? I can't flip because that would be biased. Victor or Simon have to.
Get your system involved. Get us a flip coin.
Flip the lid. I'm going to call the stripey end. The stripey. Oh dear.
Who wins? Stripey. What's going on? It's a stripey.
Do I win?
Stripey wins.
Hey, oh, Carlsberg.
This is a stitch up.
Oh, dear me.
Imagine the Istanbul final.
Just like Bayern Munich, James Pitt.
Nesquik cereal one.
So who are you going to put in this week, champion? What's coming up?
I'm going to put in Zidane's headbutt against Materazzi in the 2006 World Cup final.
Shit.
Legendary.
Was that yours, Carlsberg? Did you also get in that?
No, I just meant I'm going to struggle to beat this one.
Go on, Carlsberg. What have you got for this week?
I mean, I haven't thought about it. I'll just go one on. You know what? I'll go for Henry's hat-trick at San Siro when he scored a hat-trick against Inter Milan and he left Zanetti all over the place. Iconic performance by Vavavum.
Excellent choice. Victor, what's one of your favourite footballing moments or parts of footballing pop culture that you think is worthy of being in this podcast's Hall of Fame?
The hand of God.
No one's ever suggested the hand of God. That's a very, very good one. We'll definitely have to put it in there. On the other hand, I'm going to go for the moth that landed on Cristiano Ronaldo's face in the 2016 Euro.
This guy's a clown, man. This guy's a clown. You've got Zidane in the final. You've got a hand of God. Right, on research, it isn't maybe on the same level, but he's put a fucking moth on Ronaldo's face.
Legendary.
Why do we have to deal with this?
Look at the reaction it got. There's always got to be a comedy selection.
This is just a fucking sham. First of the Europa League season, and now I'm off on Ronaldo's face in the Euro final in 2016.
I was, the first thing I was going to pick was Joey Barton having to go on national TV to tell his brother to turn himself into the police for murder.
We can't put that in. No.
Oh, we can. Oh, we can. Oh,
what's going on?
Joey Barton. We'll just put Joey Barton's apology. One of the ones that I was going to put in was, do you remember where Paul Gascoigne was telling that bloke to like turn himself in? We're mates. I've been for drinks with him, man.
Yeah. I remember that.
Oh, funny times. Very funny times. Joey Barton, that's a very good selection. Although the Hand of God's equally is...
I'm going with the Hand of God because...
I think you should as well, pal.
Very, very nicely done. Right, we'll move on very swiftly to put some respect on that man's name, News, and then we'll take this sucker home.
Put some respect on that man's name.
This is a section where a player that normally gets shithoused on is appreciated. We've had many selections before. I put in last week Zinedine Zidane as a manager because he's highly underrated, in my opinion, even though he's won fuck tons. So we'll start with you, the man in the turtleneck that's as white can be. Put some respect on that man's name. News, Mr. Hepworth.
Put some respect on that man's name. News. I'm going to go for N'Golo Kante. Two boss performances against Real Madrid in the Champions League semi-final. I think he's an absolute great player, considering that there was rumours that he was going to be sold to Inter Milan last summer and like him wanting to be out of the team. Well, so yes, N'Golo, mate, you're my clown. You're not a clown of the week.
Hang on. Clown? How dare you?
No, it's the wrong thing. Put some respect to that man's name. News. I'm the clown.
Excellent choice.
This guy doesn't even know his own features.
Come on, Carlsberg. Who do you want him put some respect this week?
I'm going for Antonio Conte. Because within two seasons at Inter Milan, he's knocked Juventus off their fucking perch.
Brilliant.
Enough said. Victor?
Riyad
anyone
Morris.
For put some respect? Yeah.
A player that no City fan actually wanted and has been shitting on since he arrived has proven his worth.
Excellent player. I thought he was sensational in the two semi-finals. Before we run out of time, I see the clock ticking down. I'm going to put out Kai Havertz for put some respect on that man's name. News. Had a very tough time since he's come to this country. Only 20 years old. He's not been able to go out for a coffee, make new friends, learn the language. The bedding into this league must have been very, very difficult. But fair play to him. He is now coming into his own as a Chelsea player. And as the clock's ticking down, I think that's all we've got time for this week on FC Podcast. Thank you for those that made it right to the end. And as always, if you be a friend, tell a friend, share it with everybody that you know and love that likes podcasts. And if you don't like it, like I said, it never happened. It never happened. Gentlemen, as always, thank you for joining me. Many thanks, Victor, for coming on and joining us as well. I think this might have to be something we get on regularly because it's nice to hear someone take Carlsberg to task when he just goes, no!
No, we'll get you on for the final, Victor. The Champions League.
Most definitely.
Yeah, I'd love to come on again. And I might tell you some uni stories about James.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes, please. Oh, yes, please. And on that note...
Yes, 100%.
And on that note, we'll catch you next time. Thanks for listening, guys.
Thanks.